walking with me in these streets. I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets. Cause ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time.
The what?
Shit.
Shit. Epa, mi gente. Welcome to the first show of 2023 under Tuning In Energy Astro Crystal Report.
Find a way out. We're breaking the matrix.
We're breaking the matrix.
It's the truth back in this thing. They've waged the war on freedom, so now it's freedom on war.
LB.
It's been said that people don't go to war because they hate who's in front of them. They go to war because they love who's behind them. Let that marinate. Open your mind, ladies and gentlemen. You are the carbon they plan to eliminate. How would you willingly go and participate? Go and participate. Go and participate. Had enough of this shit, man. I'm tired of it all. How you cope with the pain? Ain't enough howling all in the world like a numb all along going on. People still acting like ain't nothing wrong. Is everyone done? What the fuck going on? These people coming and kicking your door. Take all the chilling and kill your thoughts. Unless we tackle the fear in it first. Knowing the truth is the gift and the curse. Like dynamite made out of gold in your purse. And you trying to sell it before the shit burst. But nobody's buying and everyone's lying. And they want to crucify you just for trying to wake up the sheeple. I mean the people. Who gives a fuck? All I roll with is lions. Who show no compliance and rise in defiance. Soul of a Mayan. Heart of a lion. Spit like a goat with the balls of a giant. I feel like David, bring on Goliath, death to a tyrant.
I'ma be free, to the last day I see, to the last breath I breathe. I'ma be free, tell whoever comes for me, tell them I don't want no beef, I'm throwing no peace. In the other hand got a piece, and that shit loaded to the teeth. What's it gonna be, is it gonna tread on me, either which way it go down. I'ma be free, to the last day I see, to the last breath I breathe. I'ma be free, tell whoever comes for me, tell them I don't want no beef, I'm throwing no peace. In the other hand got a piece, and that shit loaded to the teeth. What's it gonna be? Is it gonna tread on me? Either which way it go down, I'ma be free. Free, free, free,
free. I'ma be free, 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 free. I'ma be free any way that it go. See the light at the end of the road. Or is it the verse on the tip of a gun that let off a shot with my name on the slug? I'll be a coward if I try to run. That don't mean I let the fight to my son. For mine I'ma kill. This shit is real. Either we win or we die on this hill. Need I say more? Freedom or war? Fit ain't by help. What the fuck is it for? Get your umbrellas. It's been the poor. Everything they put in movies and more. Pray to your God. Gather some food. Get enough ammo to fill up a room. Wish on the stars. Sun and the moon. Hearing is coming and it's coming soon. Soon you'll be asleep and you'll hear boom. Guns in the air and they coming for you. Will you comply? Will you refuse? That's up to you, but me,
I'ma be free. To the last day I see, to the last breath I breathe. I'ma be free. Tell whoever come for me, tell them I don't want no beef. I'm throwing no peace. In the other hand got a piece, and that shit loaded to the teeth. What's it gonna be? Is it gonna tread on me? Either which way it go down, I'ma be free. To the last day I see, to the last breath I breathe. I'ma be free. Tell whoever come for me, tell them I don't want no beef. I'm throwing no peace. In the other hand got a piece, and that shit loaded to the teeth. What's it gonna be? Is it gonna tread on me? Either which way it go down, I'ma be free.
Hello, mi gente. Welcome. It is Wednesday, January 4th. 2023. This is our first tuning in. This is a monthly show that we host here in Cafecito Break with my beautiful sister, Laurel Rethke, who is author of Connecting with Crystals. And we like to use this time to talk about what we call an energy astro crystal report. And the theme today, at least for me, as I start and welcome all of you into the show, is Happy New Year. How are you feeling? Oh my goodness, has this year started with a bunch of exciting events that continue? It just seems like news is just keeping a rapid speed, and I feel like the overwhelm will continue, as well as a need for us to cultivate not only stronger boundaries, but also cultivate more kindness and maybe simplify how we communicate with one another. Because I think that so many of the fights that we have as human beings can get lost in just even language, right? And we invite you here today to put your biases aside. A lot of times we miss learning great things about human beings because we make assumptions based on what they say, affinities they may have, and lack of awareness or wisdom. You know, that's the thing. We just don't know. Sometimes we look upon a human being and maybe they're moving around the world with wisdom, or maybe they're moving around the world with this naive quality. But we are all here on our journey, are on own individual journeys. And I think that there's value in respecting that journey as long as you're not harming anyone and that person's not harming you. And this is why I'm going to play this little thing again.
I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets. I don't want nobody fucking with me in these streets.
Ain't nobody got time for this. Ain't nobody got time for this.
Ain't nobody got time for this. Nobody has time for this. Nobody has time for this. Tremendo bullshit. I recognize it has curses. I also recognize that that means that my video would never be monetized on YouTube, but I've never been able to even qualify for monetization. So I don't really care. And with that, I'd like to introduce my beautiful friend, Laurel Rethke, to the show. Welcome.
Hello and welcome, and Happy New Year to you and to all.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. I feel like as soon as the clock ticked into the new Gregorian calendar year, because there are many new years, I just felt I could breathe better. Like this weight, this light weight that I wasn't even aware of had been lifted. And I just had a deeper breath, and I felt, wow, I think that is, at least for me, going to be part of the energy of what I feel this year in total, because I felt a significant shift. So I'm hoping that others felt something similar in the shift into this new year period.
I haven't been out with too many people because I got this mysterious cold. Strange coincidence. I didn't have a cold all year, and then last year at the same exact time frame, me and my family got a strange cold. So I kind of missed the holidays. I didn't get to really, again for the second year in a row, thank you, cold and flu and whatever else could be mixed in with that. But the thing is that beyond all that, beyond feeling all the ickiness, I've been surprised at the lightness of outside. And I also feel like this being kind of sick and going through this cold and purging, that my body was also getting rid of tremendo butchip. So I feel like I welcomed the new year with some lesser toxins.
Yeah.
You know? And a release. And you know what's interesting, when I did the countdown from one, you know, when we do 10, 9, 8, you know, right? New Year, Happy New Year. And I got so excited that I burst out crying hysterically.
Oh, wow.
And it was and then the first thing that I blurted out was, oh my God, I miss my dog so much. But it was like, it was like a grief, but also like a euphoria, like and a lightness afterwards. So I feel like I know what you're saying. I think that a couple of people, my relatives, have also indicated that something feels like more expansive and lighter outside. And I really, really pray that that mirrors, you know, human beings, we need a relief in that realm, like big time.
Yeah. Well, looking at the astrology of it, it does look like it's going to be very different than the past 3 years have been. The past 3 years have had a lot of themes of restriction, though I don't normally talk about it that way. But there's definitely been those themes of society being restricted in a major way, and the energies that were bringing that restriction in, these planetary energies, which, you know, just getting into understanding astrology a little bit better, the ancients, as well as many modern day investigators and even some scientists on the cutting edge, are really having these new understandings of what the planets are, and the deeper resonance of them. And there's an amazing new book that's out called, let's see if I can remember this, it's about a new understanding of the heavens. That's not quite the title, but the new science, and it's written, honestly, it's written by a scientist and an astronomer more than an astrologer, but he's calling it A New Science of Heaven. And in understanding the heavens and understanding what makes up the heavens and the high plasma and what plasma is and how that relates to us in our own lives and how that relates to water and how we're mostly water, and that many see the sky or the beyond the skies into the atmosphere as a sea. It's described as a vast ocean throughout the ages. And just to coming into a greater understanding of all that, and understanding that these different planets have different frequencies, that they actually emit different sound vibrations. And so in this book, A New Science of Heaven, he eventually gets around to saying that he believes that's how astrology works, is that it's not just that these planets are there moving around, but it's the way that they interact with each other. So when one frequency comes into alignment with, or into alignment meaning like a conjunction, or into a square with, or into a trine with, as they move around, they resonate differently with each other. And that's what gives these collective cycles that prove to be true time and time and time again. And it's really interesting that I'm starting this way, because we're at one of those huge galactic cycles that, you know, many different things, cycles are interacting at the same time, but some of them, you know, one that's coming through this year hasn't happened in 300 years. And so it's just interesting to see how these interactions throughout time have certain outcomes. So we don't know what the details of these outcomes are, but we understand that these are the energies that come into this into play with each other, into resonance with each other, and it affects us. It affects the plasma. It affects, in turn, then the air and our bodies being water, and what do they resonate as? How do they resonate in relationship to how these planetary bodies are moving and changing frequencies by the way they interact with each other? Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. So I'll just say this because I'm going to sort of do a little bit of an overview for the year, but I want, like you were saying, I want to invite all in to see that, to be able to hear this maybe with even new ears, that science and our understandings of the world, the mystery with the matter, so to speak, they influence each other. You know, in our own lives, you know, we can't see or touch love necessarily, but we all feel it. And that's the mystery behind life. You know, what is consciousness and what are feelings? And so just coming into some deeper understandings around all of this helps us to understand astrology. Lost my point a little bit there. But anyway, it's just a huge year with a lot of changes. As one of my favorite astrologers puts it, she said, this is like a turning point for humanity. And I think we've all been feeling that coming, obviously, especially the past 3 years, but, you know, even further out, we've been feeling this coming for a while. I would say since 87, honestly, with the harmonic convergence, that was the first glimmer of sort of what was to come in this larger aspect that we are currently in right now. And it's, we're definitely going to be feeling it for the next 3 years in significant ways, but also beyond that, obviously. It's like we're shifting from one paradigm to another, and this year is sort of like the culmination, or the, I can't think of the word, the fulcrum, is that the right word, of it, where we're sort of going from one thing into another as we leave some of these restrictions behind.
Do you think that we've reached a point in humanity where the restrictions feel like we're all trapped in an elevator together, overflowing with human beings, and we just have to explode? Because the sense I have about this moment as I speak to you is a sort of like an understanding to speak with more caution, awareness, understanding, compassion, kindness, to try to speak as simply as possible, but not in a way where you're patronizing anyone, but just sort of like you're reaching across, also sort of like, hey, let's demystify these things. Sort of get back to building on what unites us. I don't think that we are ever going to agree, where there's so many differences between all of us, right? And there's many ways that we see the world, and there's little nuances, and we have our little quirks, and then there's then the personalities that exist across the spectrum of human beings. And it just seems to me that as I've been studying a little bit, and just knowing a little bit, you kind of find these themes happening in other parts of the world. Mm-hmm. For example, let's just name the elefantes in the room. The really hyper sexualized society, sexualizing the younger children, bringing more sex into everything. Why is sex in everything, right? Even in church, it's so weird. And even with schools, it's almost like this perversion of the mind, right? Right now, if anybody's seeing the little picture, there's a woman watering a plant. you know, tuning in. It's something that's so simple, but it's such a beautiful ritual. Like, for me, whenever I water my plants, I feel like I want to do it in a way where I am being as present as possible, because then that's how I know if I've overwatered them. You know, I have maybe 25 to 30 plus plants. Some of our babies that need new homes, and, you know, they just got moved into new areas, and that means like they're all having a new relationship with that space, and it's sort of like everybody's getting to know everything again, right? They're learning about their space. I'm learning if they need more or less water, if they're going to be happy, if I need to change them. Why am I saying that? Like, that's, you know, being in relationship with something that is alive, right? We've spent so much time on these, in this, feeding this social media world that sometimes I think the screen is dictating life. And I'm wondering, where is the human being? Like, how are we practicing being more alive? How are we practicing being more in tune with what is alive, with the other human being in the room, with when you're watering your plant? How do you know you've overwatered it? Are you just doing it carelessly, or are you just really paying attention? It's something that's alive. It's something that you brought into your home. It's something that, with whether you realize it or not, you said, I'm going to take care of you. I made a commitment to you.
Responsibility.
Right.
So it's really interesting to me how you, this is one of the things I love about you, how you just hit on several major themes for the year and for January. One, reevaluating who we are and not wanting to be anyone other than who we are is very, very much about some of the energy that's going on right now. You know, we've not being able to put the mask on anymore, and just wanting to show up as our truest, authentic selves without judgment, and also finding our tribe, huge theme this year, finding our true tribe so we can show up and just be in our own autonomy and be who we are and express that, because we're done. We're done with the, what's the song say? The BS on the street. I can't deal with this shit anymore. Like, it's a time where we're like, we've had so much restrictions on our own freedoms and our voices. For so many, haven't been able to truly say how they feel because of these restrictions that they've been trying to put on all forms of communication, and you know, being afraid because of the divisions that have been created, this lack of unity that we sort of had in some ways in the past 2 years, this divide and conquer energy that gets in the way. We're done with all that. We can't take it anymore. It's just. And so now we have to reevaluate how we communicate, because hello, Mercury's in retrograde, Mars is in retrograde, how we move forward. We are reconsidering how we take action and how we think about things, our perspective. It's so important especially during this Capricorn time, when the sun is in Capricorn every year at this time from December 21st to around January 21st, I forget. It's a time to look within, to reevaluate. That's why we have things like New Year's resolutions, because this is the winter. This is the quiet. This is going into our wisdom. This is taking stock of where we've been. It's, you know, Capricorn is ruled by Saturn. It's about time. Is the timing right for me to move forward in a new way? What has been getting in the way of my time? What is it that I really truly want? What structure do I really want in my life? Who is it that I wish to truly be? And so this is all getting supported by other things that are happening as well. And that's the responsibility aspect as well. And then nature. We have planets shifting around, and a theme for this year is moving more towards nature and natural and our authentic selves. Now, for some people, their authentic selves is going to be very different than our authentic selves. We will still have this huge diversity, and in a way, even more, because we are, so without going into exactly what's happening with the planets and just sort of keeping on the themes, we are coming more greatly into our individuality and at the same time still feeling even more deeply connected to those around us and in the community and even globally. It's sort of like all across the board. Individuality versus the collective, a greater uniqueness perhaps of our true selves than we've ever experienced before, and how that fits into society. And this is, I mean, everybody's going through this. I'm sure there's some in the closet astrology or crystal or energy buffs out there that are like starting to understand what they value more in a way, and how they do value energy, and starting, you know, some of these themes that are going to be coming up over the next, let's see, 21 years as Pluto moves into Aquarius. We're going to be exploring a lot of that, those sort of topics of what I was just saying. Sorry. It's just, as I've been saying, you know, when I used to come on the show and do these astrology updates, it was so much simpler than it has been the last 6 months, because there's just so much going on. And so my whole point is, I love the way you sort of hit on all of these themes that are happening and all of these places that we're really heading, like everyone is sort of evaluating right now. And so, if all of that made sense, I can sort of go into a little more detail of specifics.
Yes, it's all making sense. I'm really excited to learn about what the year has to offer us.
Right, right. This turning point in humanity. Yeah. you call it a year. I call it a turning point. Okay. This year is going to be huge changes, sometimes dramatic changes. Now, sometimes that can be challenging, and certainly there's going to be challenging stuff that's going on, and I'll get a little bit more into that. But it's also wonderful that we're finally getting some freedoms and moving into new ways of being. That's, you know, it's the spiral upwards. It's going to be a faster moving year. Some of the chaos is going to be happening because of some of these old systems that are having, you know, structural breakdowns or are being dismantled in a way. So there's going to be huge changes from that, which is going to bring more freedom, more a better ability to breathe, so to speak. But also it's going to be a little disconcerting at times, especially depending on how it's affecting you specifically. It's a big year of beginnings, new beginnings, and serious endings. There's almost an aspect happening this year of fully being able to release and let go of everything that you were, almost. I mean, but maintaining your values, getting more clear on your values, getting more clear on the truth of who you are. That's what's going to be consistent, but a lot of these structures around that are going to break down, and we almost have. It's so funny because I've been saying this. I did this series called Dream, or sorry, I did one class called Dream Awake that I've been planning to do a series on, but just haven't gotten to. But it's we're able to fully step into a whole newness of being that's more related to our original instructions or our blueprint of what we are meant to be and do here on the earth at this time. Sort of like the codes that we were originally imprinted with when we came in, but then we had life happen and it got all in the way. We're in a place where we can shed all of the life that got in the way and truly step into our truth and our greatness, in a sense, in our beauty, in our values, in our integrity, in all of who we truly are and what we came here to accomplish. There's some significant shifts that are happening to allow that, especially in the spring. And then, as I said before, moving more closely into connection with the natural world. So, Jupiter, which is the planet of expansion and growth and abundance, knowledge, freedom. Saturn, which is the planet of, Jupiter is the new. Saturn is more the old, and it is structures and limitations. And also Pluto, which Pluto is, I always say it reveals decay under the surface. But I was thinking about that, and it's sort of like it's making the unconscious conscious. And it's doing that by showing us what's underneath that needs to be seen, especially in regards to power and money and wealth. It can be a harsh teacher, but it's also considered the higher octave of Mars. So I kind of was thinking of it earlier today, like it's like the galactic Mars, because Pluto is the planet, and yes, it's a planet. Pluto is the planet that goes the furthest out from our solar system. So it dives into the unknown. It dives into the void. And this is the energy that Pluto has. So these three planets that I just mentioned, Jupiter, Saturn, and Pluto, they're all changing signs this year. And Pluto is a little back and forth on that. In March, let's see if I have the date written down. Yeah, in March 23rd of 2023, Pluto actually moves into Aquarius after, I believe it's been 16 years in Capricorn, and Capricorn is about the structures, top-down structures. It's the government, it's banking, it's education, it's law and the courts, it's finance, it's religion, it's big business, institutions, politics. So Pluto's been revealing decay in all of these structures. While it's been in Capricorn, but then in March, it's going to go into Aquarius from March 23rd to June 11th. So not quite 3 months. And we are going to get a huge taste. We're going to get a huge shift, because a huge ship in the ocean. Have like a huge cargo ship having to turn around or make a different course, so to speak. So it's slow moving and yet very fast in the way that it feels sometimes to us. But it's making a huge shift into Aquarius. And Aquarius is really, Aquarius is a sign of freedom. It is ruled by Uranus. So it's very much freedom and newness, sudden change. And so Pluto moving into Aquarius is going to start revealing things like more AI, big tech, social orders. We're going to be looking more specifically at leaders and the individual versus the collective. New technologies coming to light. Sort of like an energetic revolution, understanding energy and what it truly is and what it is that we use as energy versus what we could be using as energy. Probably like that's what I mean somewhat by new technologies coming to light in regards to new energy, new ways to produce energy that are going to be probably what I would consider more aligned with the good of all. It's going to be shifting our consciousness, the way we think about things, our perspective. Again, more towards that unique and individual aspect, but also plugged into community. The global, I mean, in the 21 years that, because Pluto moves differently through each sign because of its ecliptic is very big, but in the 21 years, we will have such amazing shifts in consciousness and technology and understanding of energy and frequency. And that's on a global and possibly galactic scale that we could see information coming through. And it's also about standing in our individuality, standing in our truth, standing in who we are. And so we're going to get a huge taste of that March 23rd to June 11th. And then Pluto is going to move back into Capricorn for the rest of the year. And finish up the work it didn't quite get finished in Capricorn, in those structures. So this is one of the reasons why I feel like this year is going to be so exciting, though possibly very challenging, because Pluto is, like I said, it can very much be the harsh teacher or the truth. It's the truth teller, the truth shower. And we're often not really willing to dive into the subconscious and the unconscious. You know, we leave it there for a reason. And so revealing some of that stuff under the surface can be scary for people. But it will bring, if you can just breathe through it, it will bring such amazing truth to light so that we can move forward in a better way than what we have been. So it's shaking up the status quo as it does that, but it's very powerful and significant. And so the United States chart just had this Pluto return, and it's not done in some regards. I mean, it's done with its exactitude, exact return, but it's still going to be affecting things as we go throughout 2023 and into 2024. But also, we're going to see a huge uptick, you know, when I'm talking about the individuals and the collective in civil rights and other things like this. And then, so we get to bop into it for almost 3 months. And then we go back based on the new perspectives and ideas and concepts we've seen. And we apply those new concepts from the Aquarius energy to these older structures in Capricorn. And this means that there's an openness and an expansiveness to realizing we don't have to do things the way we used to do it. We can find a completely new way forward because now we have a greater understanding than we've ever had before. You know, we went through the time where we were gathering knowledge and then we were applying that knowledge. But as you apply the knowledge, you realize maybe what didn't work. You get a new idea, a new concept, and then you go back in and you reapply with these, what you've learned from these things that happened. And so that's a lot of what the energy of this year is going to be, especially in relation to how Pluto is moving through Capricorn and into Uranus and back. And so I should explain that Pluto is one of the most powerful transits that can happen. I mean, I would say it's the most powerful. It brings death and rebirth, letting go of the old and coming into the new, seeing the stuff, ugly stuff underneath the surface that we don't want to see. It takes the longest of any of the planets in the solar system to travel around the chart. It takes almost 250 years, which is why often countries change incredibly or are no more after their Pluto return. And so that's what the US has just had. And so as Pluto shifts, it's huge, it's powerful, it's significant. It's, again, it's like that cargo ship, you know, a much, much larger cargo ship in the ocean, shifting into new waters. And it will be in some regards very slow and in some regards very fast, because it's just it's a faster moving energy and it's a challenging energy. And so it's going to be the biggest part of the changes that are happening this year in many regards.
sounds exciting. And, as you're mentioning this, I'm sort of like trying to think about what new stories are coming up, you know, because you kind of start hearing murmurings, or this might pop off over here, or this country might make a move, or this might continue to happen here in the United States. When you say about Pluto return, I mean, in other places, I've heard time and time again that, and this is not, you know, this is information that's not coming from like people who are studying like world politics, for example, or current events, mm-hmm. or the way maybe they're intimately involved in the way things are moving within the United States. And one cannot deny that something has felt very different about the United States. The good thing is that we have been awakening to all of the things that maybe feel like, oh my God, when did this happen? And with more information, we start to realize some of these systems, many of these systems have been around for a long time. Right. And yeah. Some of the programming and some of the tactics and some of the like repeating patterns, same different details, but same fear tactics, for example. And here we are, a society that seems to be more fearful, more angry, less tolerant to hear another point of view, and mm-hmm. and sometimes even more apathetic. Some say that these are conditions of a society that has sort of not had too many stripes, like we've gotten maybe too comfortable. I think that it's easy to say that there's nuance there, but I can kind of see that from the perspective of, you know, when you visit other places outside of the United States and you see how simple others live, mm-hmm. and maybe they seem a lot happier. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, you know, I'm not equating material wealth with like dissatisfaction and happiness. I really think that it comes down to the human being, right? Because these are also places where we get ourselves locked in, and then that also becomes this or that. Those people over there, the grass is greener on the other side. My God is the right God and the righteous one. And we don't realize that, you know, for example, you know, I was raised a traditional Catholic. You start studying the Bible and you start learning about the stories of Jesus, right? And when mm-hmm. I hear Christians sometimes make these very judgmental accusations, and I get it. There's one thing. I feel like there's something about defending morality and the foundations of that morality. I think it's important in human society, like those things like thou shalt not steal, you know. There's a blackout all of a sudden and people are, you know, breaking into the mom and pop shops, mm-hmm. breaking into a small business. Why? None of that is yours.
Right. Well, we're seeing behind the curtain for the first time in mm-hmm. a more significant way than we have in a long time. And so everybody's like, oh, my God, freak out. And, you know, each person is working through all of this energy in their own individual way to move to the new place. And it's going to look ugly and different among different people. And it's going to look beautiful with other people. And it's just sort of where they are in their own personal evolution. And as we live our life, I think we all know, you know, it's like there's new lessons every decade or new lessons every 7 years where we're restructuring who we are. I mean, the way that Saturn, which is structure, moves around the chart takes 28 to 30 years. And so we have these cycles where every 7 years it hits either what we call a square or an opposition, which are challenges to that. And it shifts the way we move forward and how we structure our lives every 7 years, essentially. And I would say even like decade by decade, I know my 20s were about this, then my 30s were about this, then my 40s were about this. You know what I mean? Like I'm taking these life lessons, so to speak, in chunks and working through them all simultaneously. And this is something that we're not fully conscious of. You know, I remember being in my 20s and having all these problems that I would talk out with people, and they would always say, but Laurel, you're doing it so beautifully. You know, I would be in the thick of just what seemed like turmoil, or am I learning or growing? Am I moving forward in any way? And they're like, yes, you don't see it because you're in the middle of it. But I can see how much you've changed since last year, or the year before that. And a large part of what we're doing this year, or this January, is sort of taking stock for the past 3 years. Where were we? How have we changed since January of 2020? In huge, significant ways. And I think it's easier for us to all see them because they've been such huge, significant ways, I think, for most people in this particular 3-year cycle. But this is part of what we're doing. And we're all this. So it's going to look ugly for a bit until we all learn new ways to communicate and move forward, new ways to think about things. And the idea is eventually coming into unity, which is going to be more a theme for some people than others. But the planets at play over the next 3 years are really bringing us to a place of unity, to a place where no one's left behind, to a place of greater understanding and greater tolerance, because we've had so much intolerance that we've had to really learn some things and shift the way we think about things if we want to come to peace, if we want to come to having a true relationship with others. And we must do that. We must do that because... that's the energies that are at play. The energies are, well, how do I relate to my community more? How do I be the individual and be in my most unique self and still be a part of the collective and the community and bring something productive to the table, so to speak? So Saturn is also this year, for part of it, moving through Pisces. And actually, let me see if I can find those dates for you quickly. Yeah. So Saturn has been in Aquarius since March of 2020. So a lot of restrictions on the collective. And it's on March 8th. Of 2023, it's moving into Pisces, and it's going to be there through 2025. And so we're leaving some of those restrictions of society behind, but we're coming into restructuring and possibly some restriction around spirituality. And in some ways, this is beautiful. We're restructuring spirituality, and we're bringing some authority to it. But at the same time, we may find some restrictions there, and those are there to help us figure out this new relationship with structure in regards to spirituality. Pisces is also the blood and the immune system. So some of the challenges with Saturn and Pisces can be issues that are coming up in regards to the blood in our body and how our immune systems work. There's going to be more information coming to light around that. Pisces can be the victim. And so there can be some of this, how have I been a victim throughout the past few years? Mental issues might be coming up to be looked at. It's sort of that idea of our reality, which is Saturn, the 3D world, versus illusion and disillusionment, which is the Piscean energy. Looking at our reality and starting to question, do I really know what reality is? That's sort of this Saturn and Pisces energy that's coming in March for the next few years. We're going to be looking at all of these sorts of themes, these topics. There may be, like I said, greater regulation over spirituality, but there can also be a greater legitimization of it. You know, and the whole idea is the regulation is there to bring us more legitimacy to spirituality and what that means. And that's going to come through. It's just everything's working together so beautifully. I feel like I could never fully explain how these energies at play are affecting each other, but they're all supporting each other through the process to really understanding energy and frequency and plasma and all that stuff is going to help to bring more legitimacy to the idea of spirituality and what isn't tangible. So it's like we're having a rebirth. We're coming into a renaissance period. Again, where there's a lot of change, but where there's all these new ideas that are coming to be looked at in regards to this. It's going to be more blending of science and spirituality, more spiritual masters coming forward, perhaps, but also because that's the, you know, mastery is Saturn. Saturn is time and mastery and structures, which can be limitations and restrictions. But the spiritual mastery can come for each individual in a way, because we're going through Pluto in Aquarius and Saturn just gone through Aquarius. So we're coming more into our own autonomy. And so becoming our own spiritual master, as opposed to just looking outside for spiritual mastery, right? We're going to be learning how to bring that within us, structure that within us. Mastery and integrity, because Saturn is very much connected to integrity. This is a time where we can, again, here's this theme of making dreams real, dreaming in what we want to be and resonate at. And instead of doing it the old way where, oh, I've got to make these changes, we just decide to shift into a new frequency. And that is really letting go of the old and coming into the new paradigm. So there may be some challenges on the 3D level with that over the next few years, especially. But we have the option to just become completely new beings with perhaps greater understanding of DNA structures with all the themes in Aquarius and AI and new tech, you know, we have to come to some understanding as to what is being human. Does that include integration with tech and AI? And in some cases that might be very good for someone who's dealing with, you know, a life restricting issue. And some of these new techs can be very helpful, but then do we just elect to do that if we don't need that in our lives? And so like looking at what humanity is and bringing more practical application of our spiritual ideals and ideas through, again, making dreams real in physical form, dissolving all the old structures also is a part of this. So these themes just keep showing up in new and different ways through each of these transits that are happening, and they're interacting with each other and supporting each other through the process. It's also a time, Saturn, over the next 3 years, when Saturn's in Pisces, we might find structures underwater because Pisces is water. And, or we might build something significant underwater. We might find more cities on the water. We might, again, come in, this is a time of coming into the greater understanding of the structure of water, of plasma, and how, you know, we are 70% water as adults, 80% water as children, and the significance of that, the significance of structured water and what structured water is and what that means. Maybe, you know, Masaru Emoto may have a huge renaissance in the next few years as we understand the structures of water, which he worked a lot with in regards to intention. And so Pisces is more of the spiritual intention, and Saturn, the more the physical structures. So I'm bringing up the Saturn and Pisces energy because it's supporting the other things. At the beginning of this year, we've got Jupiter in Aries. Jupiter is very much expansion, abundance, growth, how we learn, what we're learning about. And it's in Aries until May. And Aries, and this happened last year that it went into it, but Aries is our self-identity. So how are we expanding our self-identity? it can also be an expansion of, you know, Aries can be that warlike energy, but it can be the inner warrior. It can be the spiritual warrior, like the inner work warrior, and then the spiritual growth warrior. Aries is the first sign, and it's the first sign that comes direct from source. You know, it's right when we leave source and come into physical life in a way. It's the spring. It's the beginning. And so beginnings are very spiritually connected, as well as having all that passion and fire to move forward and you know, be a leader in the field. And so we've got this expansion of that energy that's happening for everyone until May. And then Jupiter's going to move into Taurus, which is, again, those ideas of bringing us closer to nature. And this is all working with the North Node, which is like the spiritual growth of the whole collective, which is also in Taurus. And that's going to be, again, connected to nature, connected to beauty and harmony and what we value on the physical plane. So I'm just talking about those energies because they're also large themes that are happening that are supporting this Pluto energy shifting and shaking everything up, so to speak, or bringing significant changes through. So a lot of what's hidden is going to be coming to light this year. A lot of revelations and realizations are going to be happening. Shifts in consciousness and perspective and understanding, you know, like right now in this, Mercury retrograde that we're having. We are specifically looking at rethinking what's happened the past few years, learning to communicate in a new way, and how to move into more freedom and move into more of these Aquarian ideals. We're having a full moon in Cancer on the 6th. So that is 2 days from now on Friday. So all the things that we put into place in the new moon of Capricorn 6 months ago are coming to fruition. How have we nurtured some of those seeds that we planted? How are we connecting more through intuition and the heart, with those that are closest to us in some way? What else? Yeah. Again, like in January, returning to our own energy. I know that there's other things that I'm just not getting to. I guess Mars is still retrograde. So I think I mentioned this, that beyond Mercury and rethinking things, we're also redetermining how to take action and move forward. And so that Mars retrograde will move direct on January 12th. But we're just really spending time in the same sort of area of Gemini, looking at where am I going, reconsidering how we're taking action moving forward once the energy goes direct on January 12th. So right now we might be thinking a lot of things, making lists, how will I move forward? The ruler of Gemini, where Mars is Mercury, and it's going direct on January 18th. So again, it's a month of like reviewing a lot of things, strengthening our own voice, our own finding what our true expression is, so we can move forward at the end of the month with that more. And then Uranus is going direct in Taurus on January 22nd. And that means that from January 22nd until the beginning of May, all of the planets are going direct. So this is a time, like January 22nd, it's kind of like that's the time to really move forward on projects and communications through May. We're going to get a lot of stuff done during that time with these huge significant changes happening. And lastly, I want to just talk about Venus. Venus is having a square to this Uranus in Taurus, this true node in Taurus, the south node in Scorpio, and it's going to be conjunct in Aquarius. And so this is opening to, again, you know, Venus is what we value. It's our own inner gifts. It's how we receive love, and it's beauty and harmony. And so this is really just helping us to open up more fully to who we are, what we value about ourselves, loving ourselves in a new way, creating loving structures, and seeing gifts maybe that we didn't see before. It's also sort of like reprogramming the heart, and sort of solidifying our values in a new way. That's sort of the idea I mentioned before of not being able to put the mask on anymore is very much influenced by this Venus energy in moving through Aquarius. It's also about money. And one thing that I didn't mention for the year, and just something to be cautious of, is that there's probably going to be some significant changes and shifts in the economy, some sudden changes perhaps, influencing, you know, later in January, influencing and through the spring, that are going to be huge influences. And I don't know, I don't, you know, again, it's astrology comes alive when we interact with the energies that are present. And so it's going to look different for everyone, but there's probably going to be some significant shifts in regards to finance and money. But there's also going to be significant shifts in our own understanding of our own sense of personal power and autonomy. And it's all there to help us to move forward in a new, again, completely different way than we ever have before.
Wow. I do feel encouraged by this report. You know, we've been through some tumultuous years.
Yeah. Well, and when we go through these huge tumultuous years, they're there to make these significant changes. And so I don't know about you, but I've been getting like readings from people for almost 20 years now where they're like, wow, next year is a real year of change for you. And I'm like, when does it end? It's always a real year of change for me. What are you talking about? Like, it's like riding a high wave and it just doesn't ever end. You know what I mean? But it's not going to be that way for everyone. That's partly just my chart and how mutable everything is in my chart. But this time is definitely a huge shakeup and change. And, you know, I feel like I needed that. I needed the 20 years of significant changes so that I am not overwhelmed by this year. And last year, the past 3 years and the next 3 years, these are the most significant times of change. So like that fulcrum I was talking about. And so this is all learning to surf in the new energies and frequencies, which are bathing onto our planet. Because, you know, if anybody's listened to these reports before, they'll have heard me say this. Our solar system is moving through a new part of the galaxy, so to speak. And we have come into a place where we have a lot more interactions with gas clouds, which all these gas clouds are just basically new frequencies, new information. So it's a part of that is a time of enlightenment. We also have solar minimums and maximums that are kind of going on that are more significant than normal. That again is information and knowledge and wisdom and frequencies. And we also have these cosmic rays that are coming down to us that we haven't had, I forget, 12,000 years. I think it's been since we had these cosmic rays hit us in this way. So there's no doubt about it. We are set up for a huge shift in consciousness and frequency and understanding and possibly our standing in the galactic community, which I know might be a bit much for some people to hear, but how we relate to the stars and the planets and is there life out there? And is life out there something to be feared or embraced? Is there a galactic community that awaits us that could be very exciting? These are all themes that are going to be coming up over the next 30 years as next 21 years as Pluto and beyond. I'm going to say the next 30 years, honestly, because even as Pluto moves into Pisces, that's also, I mean, Pisces is the ocean. Pisces is the galaxy, as well as the oceans on our Earth and water. So, it's a longer cycle, but we're hitting the beginnings of it and having to incorporate new frequencies and understandings than we've ever had before. And we won't fully integrate it, right away, but it's going to be there and it's going to shake things up and it's going to help us to see things from a new light and a new perspective and new understanding. And it's going to be challenging for a lot of people. Those of us who've been riding this wave for a long time, it's still going to be challenging, but it's at least we have some understanding of the ocean in a way that maybe others haven't. And so us that have been doing this longer, we can be here to support those who are newer on this path and help them to navigate the waters, so to speak, or navigate the plasma, possibly even more. So it's very exciting time. You have to be in the flow of it. Water is life. And you know how they have that saying, the fish doesn't know that they're in water. We haven't known that we're in energy. We haven't understood how energy truly works. I mean, we're still using sockets that plug into a wall when in previous times on this planet and beyond, that's not the way you get energy. The way you get energy is you pick up the energy from the atmosphere or the air right around you. And once you have a greater understanding of what that is, then you're like, oh, why didn't we do this before? This is so, this is what many people think that the pyramids actually were. The pyramids and the obelisks were produced energy frequency vibration, and it lit, gave them the energy that they needed for lights and cooking and all the things that we have to do on a daily basis. But they had a greater understanding of it is the idea. Egypt and before even, they had a greater understanding of what this energy is. I mean, if you look at all the Native American tales, they all go into this energy and galactic brotherhood. And so it in this time of huge change, and we're going to have huge revelations that are going to help us move forward in seriously in a completely different way that we can't even fully conceptualize at this moment.
I have to say that for me personally, tuning into the energetics of the last, I wouldn't even know it. It doesn't seem to like, it's been like, it feels like it's been days. I don't know, like the lightness of it, maybe, I don't know, like 2 weeks. I'm not sure. Like, I feel like I started feeling a little bit of it when we were in Arizona. Mm-hmm. We were there until the 20th of December. And there were these beautiful little synchronicities. I'll share one with you. It's so cheesy, right? I love iced coffee. And I like it. My favorite way is with like dark, but spiked with a little bit of oat milk. And flavored with vanilla syrup, not the light version. That's just my ultimate favorite combination. And here I am, and then this is woman standing next to me, and she's holding two iced coffees. I wasn't thinking anything of it. I just figured one was hers, obviously, and one was for her husband. And all of a sudden, she just turns to me. She goes, "Hey, do you want this? It's a free coffee." And I'm like, I'm not going to say no to cafecito. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what is it? And she's like, oh, it's a iced coffee. They gave it to us for free. They made it accidentally. And exactly the way I liked it. Iced coffee, a little dark with oat milk and a shot of vanilla.
Thank you, universe.
Thank you. I ordered it up. I didn't even have to pay for it. Little things like that.
And I think that things we will
that kept happening over and over.
Yeah, I think we will be manifesting in new ways that we've never been able to do before. So I think that's beautiful that you shared that one.
And then, I don't know. I mean, March is my birthday month, and March 23, a few days before my birthday. So I'm excited to be in this Aquarius energy, you say, of libertad. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
That definitely resonates.
Yeah, Pluto on the day after, you said March 22nd is your birthday?
No, the 26th.
The 26th. Oh, yeah. So Pluto moves into that Aquarian energy to it's funny, I say shake things up, but it's more like a flooding of, like, it's like a permeating wave of energy. See,
you keep using these water words. Water, waves.
Well, because water has huge force and it is significant this year.
Right, it's the year of the water rabbit, right?
Oh, that's right. It is. I didn't even mention that. Yes, it is the year of the water rabbit. Do you know much about the year of the rabbit?
I know that I'm a wood rabbit.
Oh, so what is rabbit energy?
Oh, geez. I would have to get reacquainted. I mean, rabbits like to start, I guess, a lot of keep busy kind of things. Oh, my God. I don't remember off the top of my head. Let me just look right now. Sorry for the typies. What a rabbit.
Okay, I did look this up.
The year of the rabbit. Okay, the year of the rabbit. It's interesting. Look, it says, if 2022 felt a little hectic, the next 12 months could offer opportunities for relaxation, quietness, contemplation. It says, the rabbit is historically known as the gentlest and most tender of the 12 animals in the Chinese zodiac. The traditional classification scheme is based on the lunar cycle that assigns an animal and its attributes to each year. If 2022 felt fast, hard, or busy, 2023 will offer opportunities for contemplation, rest, nurturing of the body and soul in an attempt to provide balance under the concept of yin and yang, the opposite forces that complement one another to offer harmony overall. But the year of the rabbit offers so much more than simple downtime from the impact of the fierce, strong, and powerful tiger. And look at this, is interesting, says Hong Kong based Chinese and Western astrologer Jupiter Lai. This is a lifestyle Chinese zodiac rabbit. Oh, JapanTimes.co. This is the source. Okay, so this is the answer, I think. Finally, the rabbit is gentle, quiet, tame, tender, and kind, yet it moves quickly and it's very clever, she says, pointing to the Chinese idiom. Idiom?
Mm-hmm.
A crafty rabbit has three burrows. This implies that the rabbit not only has many ideas, but is also good at adapting to the environment and can move very quickly, allowing it to protect itself during a time of danger or when the situation is not favorable. As a result, the overall energy for 2023 is likely to be gentle and calm, with people looking for a more balanced life. Oh my God, but that makes
that makes perfect sense to me. Yeah, they're all so different in the way they come to these conclusions, but they all seem to line up to me. I'm looking.
But you know, you're gonna love this Hawaiian-based veteran. I was gonna say virgin astrologer. fake news. That's not what it says. Hawaii-based veteran astrologer Catherine Moe agrees, noting that the Lunar New Year on January 22. will bring a wave of calm as well as confidence and ease. Here we go. More of the water terminology.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I'm looking on astrologyk.com and it's saying the water rabbit differs from others in that it is cunning. It knows how to use the advice, experience, and even the miscalculations of others, and will calculate the combinations needed in order to get their best start. It's also a very thoughtful rabbit. Fragile and emotional by nature, but does not tolerate harassment and unpleasant things like divergence of opinion and wrangling. The water rabbit has a wonderful memory and an amazing ability to communicate ideas to others, often unconsciously. It helps them attract like-minded people who will support them when they least expect it. And the water rabbit has a very delicate, dreamy nature, sometimes living in the past rather than the present. But to me, when I hear the memory thing, right, there's a sense of memory. And why is memory important? What is it that we do need to remember about the past? And how do we implement that in the future? That's what that reminds me of. But
yeah, it felt like to me when you were reading that, I felt like an activation of memory, like cellular memory, almost like when, you have a new brand new dog and you know this dog has never touched the water, but the moment it does, it starts, you know, paddling its little legs.
Yes, it's that deeper connection. I mean, because we've got these themes going on with significant energies in Aquarius and Pisces. I mean, the Pisces energy is, you know, even Aquarius, people think Aquarius is a water sign because it's known as the water bearer. But to me, water is memory and water is information coming from the beyond. You know, the way the planet was formed was rocks and water from outer space came together and formed the planet. And so memory can be past lifetimes, past civilizations, past galactic heritage. And so, again, going out into the unknown, I mean, it's Aquarius being space and space being attributed to plasma or water, and ocean. It to me, there's a very watery feeling. And to me, I mean, partly it's because I'm so mutable, which if you don't know what that means, it just means that I have a lot of planets, a lot of significant planets and luminaries showing up in signs that are good at, even though it may not seem like it all the time, good at change and you have to negotiate the waters, so to speak. It's that movement and flow. So to me, being in the flow is the most important thing. You know, you can put structures in place, but that's going to change over time. So how do you have flowing structures so that you can keep moving forward without having to completely break everything down and rebuild? So that's sort of how I look at life, is when I'm not in the flow with things, I get very frustrated because I'm so used to being in the flow with things. So, this year is going to help us to really understand the flow of energy, the flow of frequency, the flow of water, the flow of emotion. I mean, there could be water themes that come up this year, even in regards to flooding or things like that, because of like Saturn moving through Pisces. But so much of that is from the perspective that I look at it, which is understanding emotion in a deeper way, in a significant way, understanding how to flow through shifts and changes. The last thing I was going to say about the water rabbit is he never loses their associates or influence in society. Interesting. This is saying that he can hide his true nature under a mask, but I don't think that's going to happen very well this time with what's going on with the planets and everything. They're basing that on past things. But yeah, I'm really happy you brought up the water rabbit, because all of it does, they all work together.
Right. These are all systems that we are using, yes, that are bringing, yes, forth clues to sort of figure out this human existence a little bit more. I also find it intriguing, exciting. And I also always love to make sure I share with everyone that these are tools that we have available to us.
Yes.
Right. These are not things that we're fanatic about, that we're, you know, there are some people that don't leave their home, don't make a move without having a consultation of some sort. I know people that might, you know, have a reading with five people in one day. Like, you know, with anything in life, even with coffee, you can fall into a pattern that's just not serving you, right? So if when I, yes, drink a little bit too much coffee and I'm a little bit over anxious and maybe talking faster and stressing myself and everybody out, my body's indicating to me that I've overdone it. So it's more like how Laurel was pointing out, like we're learning here, everybody's in different places and stages, and it's not about judging yourself. Know that we've been all in this cycle of learning. And again, for everyone, the deck of cards is a little bit different. It's easy to look across and think those are greener pastures over there. We don't really know the intricacies of how other people are living. I think that maybe these times are calling for us to do that internal reflection and also and do it, you know, with excitement and joy and without feeling guilty that you're being selfish, because that's also a paradigm that depending on where you find yourself at, the moment you say you want to, you know, do something for yourself that maybe other people might look at as vanity and not self-care, you know, those are the moments where you have to figure out, well, where's my boundary? What's okay here? What is not okay here? You know, a lot of us have been in these entangled relationships or ways of relating with and other people with, and or these weird expectations, right? Like I know mother-daughter relationships where, you know, it doesn't matter how young, how elder the daughter is, the mom has this tyrannical relationship with the daughter, and even is trying to insert herself into the marital relationships of the daughter, right? And then you got to sort of think about that, like, when does the daughter have the opportunity to have her, you know, adult relationship and build it on her own with her chosen partner, right? Like, where does that start and stop? Of course, for everybody is different, but there's so much unhealthy boundaries within these interrelation, even like unhealthy boundaries where everybody wants to know your vaccination status, things like that, like unhealthy, mm-hmm, boundaries where, you know, people want to Google you and know everything about you before they even have one conversation. It's like, it doesn't matter how much you think you might know, understand, read about a person. You won't know anyone fully because you're not walking in their shoes. He who, you know, what's that thing about throwing stones and casting stones? It's been on my mind a lot. The whole thing about, you know, judging others and not realizing, you know, what things you have to work on. We all have to work on things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what you're talking about there a lot is us understanding power and personal empowerment versus, you know, putting your will on others versus being walked on, and boundaries and power. This is all very much what many of us would consider the solar plexus chakra, how we shine our light, our own personal inner sun at the solar plexus. And there's a lot of, you know, gut emotions in that area as well, but also a lot of gut instincts. And I'd say that's very much connected to past lifetimes, because it's sort of how it's things that are intricate, right? Intrinsically there. that we are drawing on. And some of that's from earlier in this life, but it could also be connected to other lives. But it's all about power and proper use of power. We need to not be in a position where we're being walked on. We have to be able to stand up for ourselves and assert our own authority as needed. Very important. But we also need to be cautious and not put our will on others. Not that you can't be there to guide and support and make suggestions, and even take matters into your own hands in certain times. In, let's say, the case of a parent or others who may need to do that in some way for the child, but it needs to be while you're honoring that other person, the child or that other person. You know, if someone's gotten themselves in a bad way, let's say with drug addiction, then they're in a place where they can't help themselves sometimes. And you stepping in, as long as it's, you know, out of ego and from a place of helping the other person, that's okay, you know, or you have to decide what's okay and what's not okay. But this is all just the relationship of understanding power and its healthy relationship with it and the unhealthy relationship with it. And all of us have unhealthy and healthy aspects, you know? And it's something that I think many of us, it's a lifetime journey for many. And so that's what I feel like you're really relating to.
Yeah, for many it's a lifetime journey, or even these things that we're experiencing, doesn't some of it almost feel like it's bigger than just this journey, that maybe you're doing something or you're trying to break a pattern that feels like you've been carrying, not just for yourself in this present moment, but also for anything that might be related to your direct lineage, right? Patterns in that,
yeah,
over time and generations just don't get broken. And I'll tell you right away, patterns that we need to mend in our family is some of the, you know, being such a traditionally tight-knit kind of tribe where you're up each other's butt, to going just in full in on this American kind of way, and everybody's so separate. I think that we've realized many of us have gone into one extreme or the other, and it's not helping us. Like, you know, it's great that people move out and go into the suburbs and live in these big houses, but if you're by yourself and it's just you and maybe one kid, and you're trying to find the community, and everybody's so far away, like, it's harder for people to have like a little unit of, oh, I have somebody who to take care of me, or to take care of my kid, or to dog sit, like that communal sense. We need to kind of try to rebuild more of it. You know,
well, that I would dare say that's what's coming, and there's no way around it. Yes, we are moving into the Aquarian age, and the Aquarian age is communal. It is the collective, even though it's individuality and uniqueness within the collective, it is definitely the collective. And so that's exactly what, again, that same theme again, that we're really exploring.
Yeah, and I love that.
Yeah. And our sense of personal power within that. I mean, look at the ways, you know, in my 20s, I had a friend who used to say to me, you give your power away when it comes to when you date somebody, you give your power away. And I couldn't even understand what that meant at the time. And just to see how so many people in the past few years have felt in a position where they had to sort of give their power or their authority away through all of the things that have been happening. And, you know, I think everybody in some way is dealing with their own power, their own authority right now. I don't even know what planet to point to in regards to that, but I'm guessing Uranus, all the Uranus and Aquarius energies, anything that has to do with Sag, even Leo and the sun, this is all power and authority. I mean, well, power and authority can also be Pluto and Saturn, but, you know, different aspects of it, but but I, so I think this is part of why everyone is sort of like, so many people gave over their power. They didn't want to get the shots, but they felt like their job depended on it. And so they gave their power away to do something that they, that didn't feel true or authentic for them. And they're working their way through that, you know? So we all probably do give our power away in certain relationships or situations where we wouldn't do it in another situation. And so I think all of that is being explored through the past few years and into the next few.
And, you know, Laura, I'm glad you brought that up, that point, because in what we've witnessed, in especially in the last 5 years, and then especially in the last 3 years, has been a compression of some of the least favorable qualities of human beings, period, right? And the way and the disrespect and the screaming, the adult tantrums. I mean, look at the way adults have been outwardly behaving and also professionally outwardly behaving. And then we wonder why our kids and the young people are either acting up, are having all these anger bursts, or even worse, self-deleting, you know?
Self
what? What worries me, self-deleting.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Here in all the conversations that I hear all day long, even the ones that I pay attention to, this is not, I barely hear anyone talking about the health of the young people at all. In any regard, the physical, the mental health, we keep up saying things. The latest tremendo bullshit propaganda thing I heard is that such and such died of happy heart syndrome.
What?
He was so happy. His heart was so happy.
Yeah. Well, that's a good story.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's just the way they try to normalize these things. And it's like, we can't keep being an avoidant society. We fell into the Kool-Aid where you don't discuss politics. You don't discuss religion. You never talk about things like abortion. I get it. Who wants to have these crazy discussions every single time you meet people? But here's the caveat. They have to get discussed at some point.
Yeah.
At some point, because when I see what's working in other communities and what's not working in others, and particularly seems to be the ones that I seem to be the most in, there's no traditional sense of family. There's a complete division. There's a lot of fighting. There's a lot of arguing. There's a lot of ego. There's a lot of narcissism. There's a lot of just pulling you back into remembering things that are so unfavorable. It's like you have to keep reliving the sins of the past. No, that's not good enough. No, you didn't say that. No, you're not light enough. No, you're not dark enough. No, you're trying to be white, but don't, now you know you're kind of black, but don't you dare speak for the black people. How dare you? You're Latina, and you know, shut up already. You're making me crazy. Right?
Yeah.
That's well, like, remember like. The end of last year. I said it that quickly, year. Intentionally, because that's the way I feel it from a vibrational perspective. When you see it, when you look at the TV screen and you're seeing all these pop-ups and these little windows and these little sound effects and title cards, it's visually too much. We need to slow down. So the message is today about slowing down and contemplation and taking time for indulging, if you can, in healing and sleeping. Oh my heavens, delicious. So what crystals have you been working with?
Yeah, that's exactly the question I was about to ask you.
Okay, I haven't changed. I have my friends right here. The crystal I've been working with is the shungite. And shungite and selenite and jet. And also, but right before this whole time, I also just realized the quality of conversation that came through my mouth. And whenever I wear my phenakite, necklace, like I have a little chip necklace of phenakite. Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm able to pull in like a stream of consciousness that's more focused.
Yes. Yeah. Well, so one, I thought for those who are, since we did change the time here last month abruptly, but just, you know, talking about crystals, you and I, it's just so natural and it makes sense. But for those who are kind of catching up, we talked a little bit about it in December, but, you know, working with crystals, crystals are from the earth and they are a tool, just like we were talking about with other things. And so when working with crystals, the idea is how can I help it to harmonize my energy and bring balance, not some sort of tool to do negative things with. And what's really amazing is the minerals within crystals, many of them are the same minerals within our body. And so we bring them into our energy field. They're working in ways that we don't even fully understand yet scientifically through energy and structures. But they also work in a very practical way in regards to bringing those minerals. Those minerals touch our skin and those minerals can be infused into our physical body and help us. And so, I'm working with quartz still, which I was working with last month, which it's funny. I work with so many other minerals besides quartz normally. It's kind of odd for me to be still working with a clear quartz piece, but it feels like it's really good right now. Quartz is a pure silicate, and it was studied extensively by Marcel Vogel, who was a scientist for IBM, when he was studying about quartz in order to use it in computers. And he came to understanding that it's a pure silicate and therefore it gives and receives information equally. And he called it, you can put programs into them, which are basically just intentions. You can program it and tell it what to do if you really think that's the way. But I personally believe that you should ask the quartz for its assistance to hold a particular frequency for you. And once you see that come into fruition, then you can clear it and ask it to hold a new intention. That's how I look at it from a more, perhaps what someone might call a more conscious or spiritual aspect to it. Because I believe, as the alchemist did, that everything has its physical and non-physical or spiritual aspect. And so clear quartz is also known to be a master healer because of how good it is with healing. It both raises the vibration or frequency of the person holding it, and it also balances the energy. So it's like it's an up-leveling to the next step. And so if ever time to work with clear quartz, now seems like the perfect time to help with up-leveling. And any form of quartz will help that, obviously, because they all magnify the energy and also harmonize it. But clear quartz is the one that's really good with new intentions and holding those new intentions strongly, which is a great thing to do at the new year. And I am working with phenakite. So I mentioned this to you before we started, that I just, even though I also have a chip phenakite necklace that I can't find right now, but it's been in my mind and in my energy field, so to speak, because it's been in my mind and in my heart in a way. I'm familiar with the energy of it. And so I feel like I've been working with it in non-physical form, though it is in physical form somewhere within a 10 foot radius of where I am right all the day. So, and I too, I mean, phenacite or phenakite, however you want to say it, it can be like getting high. It brings extreme clarity, but the first time I worked with it, I could only hold it for maybe 5 minutes. So similar to moldavite in that way, it's a very much a high vibrational frequency stone. I still have to use it in some moderation, just because it is so intense and really moves energy through. But so you've been working with yours more in a physical way the past month?
The phenakite?
Yeah.
No, just since you started.
Oh, just today.
I copied you for the beginning of this. I was like, yeah, tonight. I love. Well, here's something I don't know if I've ever shared with you, okay? I agree with you. When I work with Phenakite, even though I had never really thought about its energy and the way you said to Moldavite, I only do use it. I use it sparingly, first of all.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, shoops, it was something that you said that really resonated with me about its power and also the way you're bringing things in. Mm-hmm. This is what I was going to say. For some reason, I have a tradition that there are times, like, really, if I use it, it's, I might put it around my neck before I do a show.
Right.
Especially if I find myself reaching for it, especially when I need to communicate a message that feels outside my comfort zone.
Right. Almost like channeling it in from beyond to get more clarity on it, perhaps. Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Just wanting to tap into that higher awareness that, and wanting to speak with higher intention. The days, you know, we're not really, we're trying to bring people to come to the table, not to change minds. And, you know, well, this is your life, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think the thing that got it back on my radar again, because I was working with it in the fall and then I misplaced it, and it came back to my radar because another lightworker friend or healer friend, she was drawn to it, and I wire wrapped a piece for her, and it's the same thing. It just brings through this ray of clarity, and energy, intense energy. And, in the Pocketbook of Stones, author Robert Simmons, the emotional aspect of phenocyte is written as helping one to find the courage to lead a spirit-centered life. So in a way, it's a wonderful stone to be using right now and through this year. Because, you know, when we have these extreme challenges and extreme changes, it can leave us in a place where we're not sure where to turn or how to move forward in some ways. And this will help. I'd say if you have a grounding stone and phenocyte together, it would be really great to sort of ground in that spiritual energy. I mean, obviously amethyst and other stones can work in this way as well, grounding in spiritual energy, but it's like a really high frequency, very clear energy perspective that can bring you through and give you the energy you need to walk your talk, you know what I mean? To really take action in the way that you say you want to. It's the stone of spiritual initiation. And so that is one of the themes that's going on now and through the next 3 years is our whole connection and understanding of spirituality and that connection for ourselves. And I feel like this is a wonderful stone to help assist with that.
I love it. And also, I just realized that I omitted something. I reached into my pocket. I was like, oh my God, I did forget that I have been walking around with this little crystal quartz in my pocket. But it's, wow, I think I've so only been funny. Using it for the last couple of days. So when all of a sudden I'm like, I find it in my pocket, and I was like, ooh, I fibbed. I'm full of tremendous wood chip. I have to tell Laurel that I do have a crystal quartz in my pocket that I've been walking around with. And at that moment, you were like, it's a great stone to be using for the new year. I'm like, yay.
Yeah. Oh,
I love it. I love the synchronicities.
I love that you're working with shungite too, because that's about restructuring the water within the body. It remineralizing it and restructuring it in a significant way. It's got fullerenes in it. It's the only mineral we know to have fullerenes. And if you're not familiar with those, it's what some people would call the buckyball that Buckminster Fuller spoke about. And if you don't know that, you'll have to look it up. But it is very much about restructuring the water, remineralizing the water, cleansing the water, protection from EMFs, because there's nothing that's going to keep you what I would actually call protected from EMFs. There are only minerals and crystals, and most of them, that help to make those EMF waves, those electromagnetic frequencies. It helps to balance them out and make them not so harsh to our physical and energetic body. And as we learn more about energy and all of that, I do believe we will be letting go of these EMF frequencies and moving more into pulling energy straight out of the air, though that's probably years away, of it really being available for people. You know, the technology is out there somewhere. And I think that it will be demanded eventually to have things that are more conducive to our health and wellness and healing. And I believe that, again, was part of the reason for the pyramids in Egypt and the pyramids all over the world. If you're not familiar with that, there are pyramids found all over the world that align to the stars. And many people believe that they were energy frequency devices that helped people to actually live happy and healthy and in less dis-ease. And, you know, if you look into the Vedas and other things, we are coming more in, we're leaving the Kali Yuga and moving more into, I forget what they're called exactly, but the positive yugas, where it is a time of peace. It's the golden age, so to speak. And we're moving back towards that. This is a turning point to moving back towards that, more connection to the earth, more connection to what energy and frequency and vibration truly is, more connection to everyone, community, understanding everyone, understanding and honoring everyone for their uniqueness and their individuality, less of this divisiveness and more unity consciousness. This is all the path that we are heading back towards. It's a spiral that we go, I'd say we go through cycles throughout time. Well, we move away from that as we move away from the galactic center in the universe. And then as we move closer to the galactic center, we come back into that frequency. And this is like a significant time as we're crossing a hump to get back to that. So I'm just, we've been going 2 hours almost. But I feel like that really wraps it all up.
Oh, this is fantastic. And it's interesting how we're both still working with primarily with the same crystal from last month.
Yeah.
Because primarily it's been the shungite for me. And the times that I find when it's not around me, I feel it. It's weird where I feel like it's not around my energy field. I need it around my energy field. Again, you know, we always say that these are things about balance, but I also think this is an energetic thing. And, you know, we hope that you have enjoyed tonight's Tuning In Energy Astro Crystal Report with myself and Laurel Rethke, author of Connecting with Crystals. Can you please remind the family where they can connect with you, Laurel?
Of course. It is easy to find me on Instagram. And also on my website at thefairyden.com. So the Fairy Den is spelled T-H-E-F-A-E-R-I-E-D-E-N. So more of the British or Irish spelling of fairy, F-A-E-R-I-E. So the Fairy Den, also on Facebook. that's probably the easiest way to connect with me, or thefairyden.com. And from thefairyden.com, you can go over to my healing website, fivesensehealing.com, where you can look at the healing therapies and consultations that I offer, including astrology consultations. Of course, if there's anything that you'd like to understand how these energies at play are reacting with your personal chart or your personal life, I'd be happy to connect with you in that way. I have a lot, I'm what most people would call a spiritual astrologer in regards to, I look at what the energies at play are. I talk to you about your strengths, sometimes give cautions on things that might be challenging, and help you to find flow and ease and grace when you're facing challenges. Like, you know, let's see, you have a challenging aspect in your chart. I can help you find what you need to go towards energetically in order to move beyond that challenge and find flow, find yourself in the flow, essentially. So that's the kind of astrology readings I do, but I do a lot of other kinds of consultations and healing therapies, and all based on vibrational healing, energy medicine. That's what I'm about, baby. And you coming home to yourself.
I love that. I love that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And the website address has been mostly on as a banner throughout the program. And I also include the link when we post the show. And mi gente, here's where you can find Cafecito Break. I'm sorry that it gets confusing, but being shadow banned, having strikes, getting censored on Facebook, sometimes you just have all of these things happen, right? And so here is where the latest places where you can connect with Cafecito Break. Our main website is cafecitobreak.org. We invite you to please join our Substack/newsletters. We're moving, I think, our podcast. There is cafecitobreak.substack.com. We post a lot on Instagram. We are also very shadow banned. If you want to connect with us there, find us at Cafecito Break 10.0. And guess what? You have to write the entire thing because we won't pop up until you put the zero, the 10.0. And all of a sudden you see Cafecito Break 10.0 is actually here on Instagram. And we are also on social media, as Cafecito Break, YouTube, Twitter, Rumble, and wherever you may have your preferred platform. But these are the places we've been engaging the most. And if you want to give us an appreciation donation, we will not say no. You can Cash App us at $LiveYourMusic. Thank you, mi gente. Thank you, Laurel. Thank you, everyone who's tuning in, who will tune in. We love you. We appreciate you. And we thank you so much for being a part of our lives. We hope that this has been helpful. Again, these are tools that we are providing for you. And we hope that you can connect with us. Please subscribe, share our show, and comment. These help us get found by people who want to hear the kind of content that we are creating. Laurel, any words as we wrap out?
I'm just wishing everyone a happy, healthy, newly empowered new year where you can breathe better, and lots of love.
Oh, yeah. I love that. You know what? I'm going to leave you with the anthem of the year.
Ain't nobody got time for that. The what? Shit.
Shit.